Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I have so many questions for our next guest. He's a man of the world. Mike Yam, NFL Network, does a terrific job. Also, he's got a show on Sirius XM. He's a busy guy. Yam, how are you, man? Where are you right now?
I am still in San Francisco. I appreciate the introduction. When you say man of the world, it's awesome to hear you say that, but my world, I feel like in the last year plus, has been confined to like 700 square feet or so, my apartment in San Francisco. So it was nice to break free, though. I'll tell you that. I got to go to Stanford's Pro Day the other week, and then I was in Seattle yesterday for the UW Pro Day. So the world does seem to be expanding outside of my apartment, which is definitely a huge win for my mental sanity.
For people who've never been to a pro day, can you give our listeners an idea of what that looks like?
Yeah, it's actually a great question because I think a few years ago when I was still working at Pac-12 Network, Jake Plummer put it best. He said there's nothing, more exciting in their underwear, run as fast as they can, doing a 40. And in some ways, it's kind of like that to a point. You know, what's interesting about these pro days, like the drills are set up there, and John, you know this, like you try to measure athleticism and all the things that come with an investment in a person with one of these draft picks in the NFL. So I think the combine, which didn't happen this year, there was more pressure, obviously, on the individual pro days themselves. But when you go, like I've always said, put on the game film because that's real life football. Like who's going to run without pads? You don't run without pads in a straight line in the NFL. And yet there's such an emphasis on what these guys do in that 40 time and the amount of bench press reps that they go and put up. But typically you're on a practice field. There's different areas of that field that are set up for their respective drills. I always think my favorite part is the 40 because you have a line of NFL scouts that have their individual stopwatches and just clocking these 40 times. It's fun, and I understand why they do it. But generally speaking, there's more fanfare, I think, when it's done than actually being at the event themselves.
Mike Yam with us, NFL Network. Mike, you've seen some tremendous performances on the field by athletes at these pro days. Yeah. Which athlete, like wide-eyed, jaw-dropping, which athlete gave that kind of performance?
Wow. Okay, so two guys most recently that come to mind, and I think it's really interesting because they were both 2020 opt-outs, and Joe Tryon at UW and Paulson Adebo at Stanford. Both of those guys, John, look like they haven't missed a workout in a year. I mean, I could not get over how physically developed. I mean, on NFL Network yesterday, I called Joe Tryon basically, a Greek god in terms of his physique. It was unbelievable to see him. Paulson Adebo, I hadn't seen for a few years in person, but I remember seeing him early in his career at Stanford, just going to watch a practice one day and to see his personal development. Those guys just looked the part. I talked to one NFL scout when I was at the pro day yesterday, and I think he put it best. He said, you go into an NFL locker room, they see Joe Tryon, and they're going to realize, like, yeah, he just belongs, because that's what they look like at the next level. So to me, here's the other thing, John, like we're used to seeing these guys with pads on. When they're legitimately running these 40s, they really are in their boxers, basically sprinting down the field. There's not much to hide, and just, you see who's put in the work this offseason. Levi Onwuzurike, who is another 2020 opt-out, is probably going to hear his name called in the first round. I actually think he put it best. I said, how do you get better without playing football? And he said, you would imagine that it would be difficult, but at the same time, when I get to the next level, I'm going to get better in the off season. That's where you put the work in. So he said, I just look at it as an extended off season where I've tried to physically develop and get stronger. And I think at his size, that's probably one of the question marks that I think people have. You know, is he strong enough to go and go up against offensive linemen that quite honestly might be a little bit bigger than he is. But I think he silenced some of those doubts yesterday with that workout.
Washington's Elijah Molden, he'll be in this draft as a defensive back. A lot of interest, I think, in the state of Oregon. You know, his dad, Alex Molden, played at Oregon. You know the story. How did Elijah look on the pro day?
Terrific. John, have you had Alex on before?
Yes.
On the show?
Yep.
Okay, so you know. I mean, just an awesome human being and just a guy that you want to be around. So I'm not surprised. Like, when you do the research, and I talked to a lot of people around that program the last couple of days or so, I'm not surprised that they talk about Elijah as, football aside, they just say, look, he is a great son and a great person to be around. So it does remind me a little bit of sort of the parental influence that he's got. But name aside, and the pedigree clearly is there, Elijah looked good. I think there was the vertical jump was 36.5, which I think impressed some people. The broad jump was 10.5, also an impressive number. The 40 time, and I've seen two different versions. One scout had him that I talked to had him at like a 5.58 on the 40, which I talked to one person at the school, and they said, yeah, we were kind of surprised by that. And then I talked to Elijah when the workout was done, and I said, hey, man, like, you didn't actually participate in all the drills. I thought you were going to do more. And he said, well, I actually tweaked my hammy in the broad jump. So he wouldn't say it affected his 40 time, but it had to affect his 40 time. He did the broad jump and then ran the 40. I saw UW post something, and this is why, like, all these times are unofficial. They had posted a time that was like a high 4.4, but the point is, he's another guy that really, really sharp, Swiss Army knife. We've seen him play corner, safety, nickel. A really smart kid. You know, he was an all-academic kid in the Pac-12, which is not always the easiest thing to accomplish in that conference. So I think there's a lot of positive vibes around him. And then you just think about, you know, sort of the work ethic. Like, he knows what it's like to be a pro. Jimmy Lake told me yesterday, he loves telling the story that when he had signed on, his mom sent Jimmy a text picture of his bedroom, and it had a bunch of the team's play calls up on the walls. That's what he was studying. So he's passionate about football, and it's clear. Like, you see it on the football field, too.
Mike Yam, NFL Network, is with us, formerly of the Pac-12 Network. He's got a show, too, on SiriusXM, hosts a show there. You can follow him on Twitter, @Mike_Yam. Mike, I asked before the commercial break, I was talking about three teams in the NFL that maybe could have a resurgence this next year. They're all big brands, the Dallas Cowboys, the Raiders in Las Vegas, and the Patriots. Yeah. Yeah. Which one of those storylines is most interesting to you? Because I think they're all trying to find footing right now.
Yeah, I think all three are great for different reasons, but certainly two out of the three resonate with me just because of quarterback play. And I think the obvious choice right now is, you know, what's New England going to do? When San Francisco moved up to that third overall pick, I know some people will say, hey, you know, they're going to be comfortable maybe keeping Jimmy on the lineup and whoever they go and draft, like both of those guys on the roster, and there'll be a competition. No, I don't see it that way, John, and maybe you don't either, but I don't think you invest and trade away that many first-round picks not to have whoever they selected third overall be the starter on day number one. So in my mind, I think Jimmy Garoppolo's days in San Francisco are fairly numbered, and I think the obvious link to Belichick in New England has been discussed a lot. So I actually can't wait to see if there's another deal or something that gets switched around in terms of trying to make a trade and get Jimmy G back with Belichick.
How about, you know, Marcus Mariota in the Raiders, and is Mariota going to be a starter somewhere again?
Were you surprised by the restructuring of that contract? I was.
Yes.
He gave up a lot of cash there. And in my mind, I'm like, why are you doing that, man? If, you know, you might have been able to even force the hands of the Raiders to go and ship you out, you know, so you'd have that opportunity to start. So I found that interesting to the point where I was, based off of what we saw in that great game and got to see two Oregon quarterbacks with Herbert and Mariota going head-to-head in an NFL game, I actually started to think to myself, maybe Marcus doesn't, I know this sounds weird, but like maybe he doesn't want to start, which I know seems even weird for me to say it, but why sacrifice that many dollars when you have the opportunity maybe to once again force the hand of the team to try to trade you, so you have an opportunity to go and get a starting job. So I found that peculiar, but I do think it's clear to me based off of that performance that this guy is more than capable of being an NFL starter.
Is it possible that they're telling him, hey, you got a chance to start here? And he also put a no-trade clause in there. I wonder if he was just saying, look, I want control of where I'm going to be.
I think there's definitely a part of that. The no-trade clause, and I can't imagine that there isn't one of those wink-wink kind of deals, like, hey, you know, you take the less money, maybe we can find a spot for you, or, you know, there'll be more of an opportunity for you to go and start. But once again, like, I just think – in a day and age where athletes typically don't take less money when they don't have to, I found the move fairly interesting. And to me, it's like, hey, how do you try to make sense of it? And I think what you're suggesting does make some sense.
Mike Yam, NFL Network with us. Dallas Cowboys, you know, there was a lot of talk about Dak Prescott and the direction of that franchise. Can Jerry Jones fix that thing? Or, you know, the Cowboys seem to be spinning in the same place.
Yeah, I think Prescott, by all accounts, and I've talked to a couple of people that cover that team, you know, he should be ready to rock and roll and you know, for the start of the season. He's been in the facility every single day practicing. The more and more conversations, and John, you know this, man, I've spent a lot of time covering college football. So what I find fascinating is when you have a conversation with someone who's been in the trenches, you know, over the last couple of years, close to that organization, and universally around the league, every conversation about Dak has always been a positive one. Him as a team leader, his demeanor, guys wanting him to succeed, and the work ethic. So he's putting in the work. Would imagine he's ready to rock and roll for the start of the season. And in terms of, you know, compensation, like, I do think it's definitely a positive that, you know, in a lot of ways you say, hey, face of the franchise, a kid that was a fan of that ball club, sort of living out his dream. There's kind of like this storybook vibe to it, which I think is also one of those intriguing storylines. But they suffered in a lot of ways without him. And I think the injury, I think, almost helped him. And granted, like, this is the toughest lesson to learn. But I do think there was a better appreciation for what he brings to the table when you saw what your offense looked when you didn't have him.
All right, you know the Pac-12. You're around it. You follow it. You studied it. You're an expert on it. You saw what they did in basketball. Three teams in the Elite Eight, UCLA in the Final Four. What do you make of this?
Awesome. It's awesome. John, how many times have you heard a broadcaster use the term unbelievable? And more, I would say 95% of the time, it's not the appropriate term. We could be surprised. We could be shocked. But unbelievable? No. That is actually appropriate to describe the run that the Pac-12 had this year in the NCAA tournament. It really was unbelievable. First of all, kudos to Wayne Tinkle. I saw your tweet about him giving back, you know, the bonuses that he got that came with the NCAA tournament to the school. I think that's awesome, and apparently a lot of the coaches did that. But the run that he had was truly remarkable. What Mick Cronin was able to accomplish in – this is a gravy season. I mean, Chris Smith coming into this year, John, I would have had on my shortlist for Player of the Year honors. To not have him remake this lineup and get to a Final Four in year two, are you kidding me? It is spectacular, you know, just across the board. And then all the units, like, think about, and I know you've reported on this for a really long time, just the amount of money that the conference has sort of been in need of because of the lack of revenue that comes with the television deals that they put together in the past. Like, think about the money that is now coming their way because of some of these NCAA units. If I'm not mistaken, I think I saw this online, the payout is in the tens of millions, like 40 or 50 or 60 million dollars, which I know sounds like a big gap. You know the exact numbers, but that's the second most that a conference has had in tournament history. Like, that is, you talk about needing the cash at the right time, that's big time for the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's going to end up somewhere between $40 and $50 million. It's a record for the conference. We're talking to Mike Yam of the NFL Network. Oregon State, it was unbelievable. I mean, this was a team that was not going to qualify for the tournament. Suddenly, they're in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Yam, are we going to look back and go, hey, that was an amazing story, but it was a one-off? Or what is it going to take for Oregon State to sustain?
You know, there was a sense, John, during the year where I felt like the fan base was a little too apathetic, surrounding this program. You know, they had some ups. Wayne obviously has done a really good job over the years, but I'm saying, like, yo, like, let's go here. Like, I want to see more. And I think what's fascinating about this run is it happened without Trace Tinkle and Stevie Thompson, two guys, and Trace especially, who's one of the better players that we've had in the conference over the last few years. So it is odd that they had this run without those two guys in the lineup, but the development of some of these players, that to me is one of the more impressive things. And I don't think people are talking enough about that from a Wayne Tinkle perspective. If he's able to continue to develop here and be able to parlay this run in the tournament to get into some of the conversations that maybe they weren't in when it comes to recruiting, that could be a game changer. Because I'd say the same thing about UCLA. Like, they can get those guys that they want, but now all of a sudden you fast track. I think what might have been, you know, a 2 or 3 year plan from the year that he got hired now becomes like, hey, can you do this again next year? What's the ceiling for this program? And from Oregon State's perspective, I mean, they finished fifth in the league. There was a time this year I didn't have them 12th, but I certainly didn't have them fifth. Wayne Tinkle, once again, kudos to him. And I just wonder what now happens with his contract, and are we going to see an extension for him? Because I think in a lot of ways, he's earned it off of this run.
Yeah, I think Oregon State is saying he's our guy. Scott Barnes, the AD, saying, yes, we'll talk to him, but I think they got to get that done. He's got 3 years left. I think they need to get him to 5 or better. Mike Yam, NFL Network with us. Before I cut you loose, Mike, you know, you go from covering the Pac-12 to covering the NFL. How has that been for you, and how is that different for you as a broadcaster and host?
Yeah, it's been different, and I appreciate you asking. I've talked to you in the past, and you've had me on your show, and I've used the phrase, you're not going to find a luckier broadcaster than me. And I truly believe that for a lot of reasons. And because of the pandemic, and candidly, it was tough to get that news, you know, almost a year ago. I mean, hell, we're approaching April when I found out my contract wasn't going to get renewed. And I think from a personal standpoint, it's hard. And I know a lot of people in the past year have had to deal with similar circumstances. So to get an opportunity to land at a place like NFL Network, I can't say enough about how appreciative I am of that opportunity. And then it's just kind of cool, John, because I spent, you know, the last almost 10 years covering the Pac-12. I still get to do that with SiriusXM, but a lot of the guys that I covered, they're playing now on Sundays. And to me, that's really cool just because there's still that connection. And, you know, it was awesome. You know, I was in Seattle yesterday, and obviously you get to know some of the guys that are playing and trying to get there. But remember JoJo McIntosh, you know, he was there working out for NFL teams. And I was happy to see him there. You know, like, this is a kid who is such a nice guy. And I know I'm, you know, talking on a radio station in Portland, and it's duck territory. They don't want me talking positive about, you know, dogs, and I get that. But, like, the point is there's just so many great stories. So to still even be involved and at least develop some of those relationships over the years and then carry over to Sundays, it really is a blessing in a lot of ways.
Mike Yam, NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter. Listen to him on SiriusXM. Yam, I appreciate you sharing time with us, and wish you the best, my friend.
Yeah, stay healthy. I'm glad the trip to India looked like a good time for you, and hopefully we'll get some more fans slowly but surely back into these stadiums and arenas.
I appreciate you, man. Mike Yam, NFL Network. Yeah, I was in Indianapolis. I came back yesterday. I was there about a week. And I got to be honest, I told somebody this morning, they said, how was it? And I said, you know, it was stressful to travel in this time. You know, it's a lot of people vaccinated. I am not vaccinated. I'm wearing an N95 mask. Getting to Indianapolis, it's a haul. Like, you got to connect coming out of Portland and go other places. It was like an all-day thing. And I can remember, like, getting to my hotel room in Indianapolis after traveling all day, and I left at about 11 a.m. on Portland time last week, and I got into my hotel room. It was almost midnight in Indianapolis, right? So, you know, there's a time difference, but you essentially been traveling like 9 hours. And I took the mask off, because you have a mask on when you're on the plane. You have a mask on when you're in the airport. You have a mask on when you're in the, you know, taxi or the Uber. You have a mask on when you get into the hotel. You have a mask on when you get to the hotel elevator. And by the way, nobody else can ride the elevator with you. So you stand there and you have to keep going. You go ahead. No, I'll get on the next one. I'll get on the next one. So you finally get to your room and you take your mask off. And I can remember other times, you're like, even if you're not traveling in a pandemic, the idea that traveling, like, it's exhausting. And I got to the room, I took my mask off, and I was like, that was like the Amazing Race. Like, literally just took a deep breath and thought, man, this is not going to be normal. And it's true. Going over to Lucas Oil, you know, stadium, covering the Elite Eight game for Oregon, or going to the arena to see Oregon play USC. It's a haul, and you're going through a lot. And guys, when I got to Lucas Oil Stadium, they had a woman who was taking temperatures as you come through the door. And I walk in, you go through a metal detector, they put your bag through a metal, it's like, you know, the airport TSA scene as you're going into the arena. That's fine. But then you come to this person who's like a medical person who's asking you, have you been outside the country? Have you been in touch with somebody who's got COVID-19? Hey, do you have symptoms? And then she wants to take a temperature. And she takes my temperature with this, you know, gun that she points at my forehead. My temperature came back at 91.9, which is not an accurate reading, right? Like, something's not right. And she goes, you're good. And I said, what was my number? And she goes, 91.9. I said, I'm dead. Why are you letting me in the arena? You know, it's silly to me that some of this is going on. And, you know, by the time it was over, I was like, you know, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home and be in my own studio for a while. All right, leave it here. You got the BFT statewide. Every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report, brought to you by Culligan of Oregon. Go to culliganoforegon.com, take advantage of their services. I got so much to say about Kevin Durant, Michael Rapoport. Are you surprised with Kevin Durant and the stuff that he's writing and thinking, and is he delusional?
No, I'm not surprised, and yes, he is. It's unbelievable how, it's pathological how thin-skinned he is.
Really thin. I mean, I think a lot of athletes are thin-skinned, and I think a lot of the NBA players do have rabbit ears because they're much more tuned into Twitter. But what do you think, Zach? Kevin Durant.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.